Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Monday, live in earthquake-shaken Los Angeles. Small one. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. It was 4:15 in the morning. It was like a 3:05. Barely felt it. I thought the dogs jumped on the bed, honestly.
It's terrifying. I hate when they wake me up. During the day, I'm like, okay, I can kind of tell what's going on. I can assess how the situation. When you're like dead asleep and you wake up and the whole building is shaking, that's it's not that pleasant. But we're fine. We're all good.
See, if you get dogs, you'll just think they bumped into an armoire. I honestly thought, what did my dogs jam into this morning at 4:15?
This is California living.
It is. So many goods and a little nerve-wracking. Great to have you in on a Monday. Huge game tonight. Baylor, an underdog to Gonzaga. And they're a win away from mortality, the small school from Spokane, Washington. I went to college about 20 miles away, and I have a soft spot for Spokane. Potentially sports history tonight, the first time in about 45 years. 75% of the country is rooting for Gonzaga tonight. We root for history. We love history. Tonight will get a big rating. 13 million people watch Gonzaga-UCLA, which was the best college basketball game I've ever seen, and I've been watching it for a long time. But here's what's fascinating about Gonzaga. And I know most of you, you don't know much about Gonzaga. They have become a Goliath, and they used to be a David. And I can't think of another sports team, pro or college, men or women, that's ever happened. Think about this. There's a reason the Yankees and the Celtics and the Lakers and Ohio State football and Alabama and Oklahoma and Kentucky and Kansas, there's a reason they're Goliath. They have a money advantage, a history advantage, a glamour advantage, a city advantage, a geographical advantage, an owner advantage, whatever it is. There's a reason they got there. Now, they may hire the wrong coach and be down for a while. Bama was. They may, they have a little chaos in the organization. Quarterback gets hurt or something. That happens. But they always get back to the top. There's a reason Goliath is Goliath, right? IBM's going nowhere. And then you have the Davids. And I'm not talking about all the Davids, but the good Davids. Xavier basketball, Gonzaga basketball, Boise State football, TCU football, the Oakland A's, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Minnesota Twins, the OKC Thunder. They occasionally get the right star, but he leaves. They don't have the payroll, but they're bad in baseball forever like the Rays, so they get a bunch of draft picks. They hit on them, and for 2 or 3 years, they're great, and then the players all go and make more money. But the little guy always returns to being competent, but the little guy. There's a reason he was a little guy forever. Small payroll, unglamorous town, don't attract free agents, whatevs. But then there's Gonzaga. David to Goliath. They are the best college basketball team in America. Okay, in the last 6 years. Well, what about the conference they play in? Who cares? In the last 6 years, they have more wins in the tournament than anybody. By the way, in the last 5 years, they have the highest winning percentage. They have the most wins. They're putting guys in the NBA. They just landed another top five high school player. They may land another top 15 high school player. Jalen Suggs may go number one in the draft. Probably two, but may go number one. When you watch Baylor and Gonzaga play tonight, there'll be 4 or 5 first-round picks. This is not a mirage. This is the rare story where the Rays become the Yankees. What? Okay, for 4 or 5 years, they're not slowing down. Mark Few is young, in great shape. He's not going anywhere. They don't cheat in their recruiting. They sell out their arena. They're incredibly well-funded, make about $14, $15 million a year. The players love them. They get NBA guys. They have a great system. Not Duke, not Kansas, not Syracuse, not Kentucky, that are a revolving door sometimes of players. 5 straight 30-win seasons never happened. Now, some of that is the conference they play in. But they are the best basketball program in America right now, the best college basketball program. I'm not sure. Kentucky didn't make the tournament. Louisville didn't make the tournament. Duke didn't make the tournament. They'll try for history tonight, and I can't wait. You just don't see it very often. There's a reason favorites are favorites. They've had an advantage, and they may go down, but Oklahoma football, they may hire the wrong coach. They fly back. Alabama hires the wrong coach. They fly back. The passion, the money, the glamour, the history, the funding, whatever it is, phenomenal. So I just bought an iPhone 12. And literally Joy couldn't beside herself. And the iPhone 12 does everything. It's my camera. It's my calendar. It's my music. It's my alarm. It's my Rolodex. It's my navigation. I had to write it down. It's my music. It's my wallet. It is everything. I mean, it is. It is everything. They have a portrait setting on the pictures. You can do a movie on your phone. It's in, you can do it with my dogs. I look like an artist. Okay, and now it used to be my phone had three or four of these things, and I would still buy it. But that's because that's what was available. So my phone wasn't everything. So you'd buy a BlackBerry or a Sidekick or a Razor. That's what was available. So I saw a story this morning by an NFL scout that said, Mac Jones, Alabama quarterback, not worth a first-round pick. And it reminds me of the phone because we used to buy the BlackBerry because it's what the standard was. And the standard for quarterbacks similarly was the same. He's got a huge arm, but he's not that smart or athletic. All right, there's your BlackBerry. Well, he is athletic, but he doesn't have a ton of leadership skills. All right, I'll draft him first round. Well, you know, he's a leader, but he can't move. He is a statue. That was the old standard. But then I watched Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence and Josh Allen. They're the iPhone. I'm not drafting a guy first round who is immobile. You cannot keep up in the NFL if Mac Jones, who has no second reaction skills. I mean, I'm reading what the scout said about him. Does not have a great A arm or athleticism. Lacks speed, quickness, and running ability to create plays. He will be confined to a pocket passer. Where is that working? So it's like, listen, the standard for phones has changed. You can't keep up if you got something like a Razor or a Sidekick. It just doesn't do enough. And I kind of feel like that with Mac Jones. I wish the kid well, but it's why I would have moved off Tua. I mean, you can see instantly with Herbert and Mahomes and Allen. And like I've said before, I like Lamar Jackson a lot, but I do want to see an elevated passing game. Gotten better. I want more because I just can't beat a Kansas City or a Buffalo if I don't have that. And so finally, I think people are coming to their senses. Now, I was told this weekend, this is very interesting. I was told this weekend that the San Francisco 49ers have the number 3 pick. We know they've moved up for it. Kyle Shanahan wants Mac Jones. The general manager, John Lynch, does not. And those two have been arm in arm, besties. There's your separation point. I'm going to side with the general manager, John Lynch. If you draft Mac Jones, San Francisco third, what you're telling everybody is my system will make this Sidekick, this Razor, this BlackBerry work. My system is so great, I can make an inferior phone work. And I don't think, ask Greg Popovich and ask Bill Belichick, I don't think anybody's system is good enough to win Super Bowls if you don't have the man. And that's where I stand on that. What an unbelievable college basketball game Saturday night. God, it was fun. God, it was great. You know, I was sitting there as I watched that game on my couch with the dogs, and I thought to myself, there are people in America that don't like sports. And I thought, Saturday night, what were they doing on their couch? Playing Scrabble on their phone. I'm like, I got so much emotional joy. And I felt bad for UCLA. I thought UCLA for most of the game was a better team. It's fascinating. I'm watching the first half, and I'm like, Gonzaga's getting dunks and layups. UCLA is hitting all these tough shots. There's no way this lasts. There's no way. You can't keep hitting all these tough shots. Second half, early going, UCLA falls by 7. And I'm like, okay, finally. And they just kept hitting shots and shots. And so in the end, UCLA, I think UCLA got as much respect as Gonzaga. What a story they are for Mick Cronin, who was the fifth head coaching choice. They got one kind of NBA guy, Johnny Juzinga, I think is –
Juzang.
He's their one NBA guy. I think he's a low first round second, but what a story they were.
I mean, it's got to be an awful way to lose, but weirdly, I think I'd rather lose like that.
Yeah, I don't want to get blown out.
Yeah. And I mean, what, just to your point, like, what an incredible way for UCLA to get back in the national conversation with Gonzaga. It was amazing. An amazing game.
I have a friend who is connected to the UCLA staff, and the UCLA staff had said before the game with Gonzaga is you got to be careful about running with Gonzaga because it's fun and players like to get out and run. And you're down 3, you're down 4, and all of a sudden you look up and you're down 13. UCLA's game plan was walk it up the court and put a body on every Gonzaga player, every possession, make them sweat their points. They still got to 80.
Right.
But it's like if you think like Baylor tonight, my opinion, Baylor's going to run with Gonzaga because they have great guard play. So psychologically, UCLA knew going into the game, we can't run it up the floor. And so they went in saying, we're going to be more physical, get the loose balls, grab the rebounds. It was all psychology and coaching. Like, we can't run with them. We're not going to try. Let's make the game physical. And they did. It's what the Buccaneers did to the Chiefs offense. Hit them everywhere.
They changed the pace of the game.
Baylor, I think, thinks, and they're not wrong, we can run with these guys for a while because their guard play is so good. But what they can't do is contain, I think, Gonzaga's interior scores. So I think tonight's going to be high scoring, wildly fun. I'll take Gonzaga. But I was just an incredible treat for everybody in America.
It was an amazing, amazing moment.
Congrats to UCLA. I can't even wrap my arms around a team that looked awful at the end of the regular season, gave away 4 straight games, 3 or 4, play-in game to Michigan State, and ended up here. What an unbelievable effort by that program, which is, by the way, a football throw away from where we sit right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
A lot of times when I interview young people and we're trying to hire somebody, I ask, what's your story? Give me your story. I want to hear your story. I don't need your resume. What's your story? We talk about this in the NFL all the time. Quarterbacks always have a story. Baker Mayfield had to walk on. Aaron Rodgers had to go to the junior college route. Big Ben wasn't recruited by the big boys, went to Miami of Ohio. Russell Wilson dropped to the 3rd round. Tom Brady couldn't start in college. That's their story. It's easy to get your arms around and root for a story. And if you're a 17 and 18-year-old basketball star and you're looking to get a shoe contract, brah, it ain't just talent. What's your story? LeBron got a big shoe deal. He was a prodigy. He was the chosen one. Zion got a big shoe deal. Controversial, dynamic, shoe explodes. He had a story, not just talent. Zion was not, going into college, the number one prospect. He signed a bigger shoe deal than LeBron. The NBA has always dismissed college basketball as a really high-quality option for a year to the pros. You can go overseas. I'm not against that. You can go to the G League, make some money, couple hundred thou. I'm not against that if you grew up super poor. But I think college basketball is the best option. Adam Silver and the NBA roll their eyes and barely even consider it an option. And I give you Jalen Suggs. LeBron's agent, Rich Paul, texting me during the game and after it. This kid now has a story. Jalen Suggs made several million dollars Saturday night. That was the best college basketball game I've ever seen. Let me ask you, what's the best G League game you've ever seen? Oh, wait, you never have. Jalen Green may be drafted 3rd. Jalen Suggs, 2. One will sign a massive shoe deal because he used the platform of college basketball, CBS, TNT, March Madness, to make millions. That's why Baker Mayfield got a dozen commercials and was one of the worst quarterbacks his first year or two in the league. Oklahoma, bowl games. He had a story. He had to walk on twice. I'm not saying the G League isn't okay as an option, but the United States basketball culture is see player, pay him, or you're a bad guy. You're not willing to wait 9 months if you have at least some finances to get you through for 9 months? Jalen Suggs is now a commodity. I can't wait to watch him play in the NBA. Jalen Green maybe is talented. What do I care? I've got no visceral connection. You go to the G League, your coaching's worse, your facility's worse, your travel's worse. You have no marketing. I've never seen a G League game, just highlights. I'm not saying college basketball's for everybody, but the NFL has always understood that college football is a marketing and maturity platform to get known. That's why a Tim Tebow is not even good can walk in and lead the league in jersey sales. When's the last time in college basketball, when's the last time a G League guy who wasn't any good walked into the NBA and led in shoe sales? Steph played college basketball. Most of the all-time greats played college basketball. Now, LeBron was just too damn good. So was Kevin Garnett. So was Kobe. And I'm not saying that route is for everybody, but 13 million people watched Saturday night. And they all fell in love with Jalen Suggs. And so did Nike. Did you watch the Lakeland Magic win the G League title? Outside of the parents of the players, I'm not sure anybody did. College basketball is a wonderful platform. Not for everybody, but to dismiss it, why is football, why does the NFL draft crush every other sport in America's regular season TV ratings? Hell, it crushes some baseball and NBA and NHL first and second round playoff ratings. Why are we sitting on our couch for a weekend watching the draft? Remember when they had the pandemic and COVID and they were all doing it from their house? It's one of my favorite drafts ever. Why? Because the kids all had stories. You could put your arms around him and cry and root for him. Jalen Suggs has one, thanks to the unbelievable marketing of CBS and TBS or TNT or wherever it is, and YouTube and whatever TV station and network it's on. College basketball gives you a story. Stories make you a lot of money. Go get one.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I went and did research this morning, not just on fishnets and boots. 34 quarterbacks have been drafted in the first round since 2010. We're in 2021. That's a big round number. That's a lot of years. Eight of the 34 have been hits. You give the keys to the franchise. That's 23%. Now, to show how low 23% is, Russell Westbrook shoots a better percentage than that on three-pointers. Oh, I'm just kidding. Here's the guys you hand the keys to the franchise to. They're not all perfect. Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert. You hand them the franchise. You sign them. You get them in. I'm not counting Joe Burrow yet. He's been injured. I'm not counting Baker yet because they haven't signed him to a fat contract. I wasn't counting for a couple years Dak yet until they signed him to a big deal. Now he's a keys to the franchise guy. The organization's like, all right, so this is 23%. Now, this is first-round quarterbacks. Now it gets funny. There have totally been, I think I just threw the paper away. Hold on. The total number of quarterbacks drafted since 2010, all rounds, is 131. 11 or 12, if you count Baker Mayfield, are hits. 12. That is 8%. 8%. Folks, the first four picks in this draft are probably going to be quarterbacks. There'll be five taken, and according to all the stuff I'm reading, two or three in the second and third rounds. So I'm going to make a prediction. Trevor Lawrence will be the hit, and the only other hit will be whoever San Francisco drafts. Now, if it's Mac Jones, he's not going to be much of a hit. kind of he'll be a Kirk Cousins hit. Get to a playoff maybe with a great coach in line. But it just goes to show you the hit rate on this is awful. Now, again, I think it's a tougher position. You don't really care if your running back's a leader. You don't care if your cornerback is one of the guys. You know, Deion Sanders had the personality of a receiver, a corner. Just go be a man. Go be an independent. I'm all good with that. Like I've said, I don't even care about the Wonderlic score. Unless you're a cornerback, then cognitively, I want to make sure you can keep up with a very fast game. But Trevor Lawrence is my guy. After that, the only one. I said that I had to talk to a friend yesterday. And he said, you know, he was asking me, of all your draft guys, who's the best? And I said, well, TJ Hushmanzad is fascinating because he watches them. He told us Justin Herbert was going to be a star and Joe Burrow was going to be better than I thought. And he was right. And he said last week, he said, Zach Wilson does 360 dunks. Like Zach Wilson is Aaron Rodgers good. But I told a friend this, who's a Jets fan. I said, I'm not doubting that. Because he does. Zach's got some Aaron Rodgers, the way he lets go of the ball, it comes out. He's very pretty. Zach Wilson is very pretty. He's very handsome. His ball is very pretty. Aaron's very pretty. He's a very pretty thrower. Like, it's not, it's just kind of like, poo, he throws off his back foot, la-ti-da, 60 yards down the field. Dak's not real pretty. It's kind of mechanical. It doesn't, Aaron's pretty. And Kyler throws a pretty ball. It is just moving around and pretty, and just that thing would burrow through a battleship, tight spiral. But I said, can you win with the fourth best coach in your division? And I said, as much as I like Josh Allen in Buffalo, what if Sean McDermott didn't know what the hell he was doing and didn't hire Brian Daboll? I don't think Josh Allen is Josh Allen. And Josh Allen is 6'6", fast, and a hose. That guy can throw forever. I like Patrick Mahomes. He didn't win in college. He couldn't win in the Big 12. So I said on Zach Wilson, I got nothing against the kid. He throws a pretty ball. He's a pretty athlete. He's going to have the fourth best coach in his division. Robert Saleh is not Belichick. Let's stop arguing that. Sean McDermott is as good as any young football coach in the league. Brian Flores, as I told my friend, went 10-6 with Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick in a rebuild. Just say that out loud. Yeah, we're rebuilding. O-line's not great. Who are your quarterbacks? A rookie and Ryan Fitzpatrick. 5-11? No, we went 10-6. Excuse me? So Robert Saleh is probably going to be the fourth best quarterback or fourth best coach, at least early on, first 2 years in his division as he learns to be a head coach. It takes a while. It's not easy. It's a new job. It's like different between being vice president, Kamala, and being Joe. There's a big difference, Mike Pence to Trump. It's Al Gore to Clinton. It's a big difference. So Dan Quayle to George Bush. Like some vice presidents are never presidents. Some are, some aren't. So just, you know, you look at the numbers, 8% of quarterbacks overall hit. Like you give them the keys to the franchise. And even then, Josh Allen takes a while. Lamar Jackson still building. I'm not counting Joe Burrow hurt. Baker haven't given him a big deal yet. I mean, it is you talk about an inexact science.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
And here we go.
Where Colin was right.
This is an easy one. I almost feel guilty, but I don't. Gonzaga's made it to the finals. Listen, when you have a great program and then you add a kid like Jalen Suggs, who, by the way, was a great high school quarterback, so he's just the definition of a leader. He's the best quarterback in Minnesota. He's the best basketball player. So you get all that toughness and that leadership. The kid's just magic. He is just, I cannot wait to watch him. This is the best offense I've seen in college basketball in over a decade. I think they're the best program in the country. Congrats to UCLA. What a fight by the Bruins. What a fight. They may have been the better team for most of that night. But Jalen Suggs and Gonzaga, they're favored tonight for a reason. That offense, good luck running with them, Baylor, because they can put you out of your misery very quickly.
Where Colin was wrong.
Apparently, there is a market for Antonio Brown. Seattle now is interested. Baltimore interested. Listen, I don't really get it. I think you optimize Antonio Brown. Do what Tampa did. You know, you bring him in. You limit him. You limit his leverage. You limit his control. And, you know, if you have a few, he didn't play against Green Bay and they won. He had one catch against the Saints and they won. But Tampa Bay, by the way, has signed everybody except him. But I just think college football is giving you not only so many great receivers, but they're all good. like immediately. I just think the days of a, you know, 30-ish wide receiver with some baggage, I don't think that I wouldn't be interested. I don't know why there's a big market beyond, you know, he's talented, but good God, college football now is just giving you 30 good receivers a year.
Where Colin was right.
Kevin Durant's a remarkable guy. I really think he's a good kid. I really do. I think he's a great player. But last week, Mr. Burner account got burned on social media again, fined 50 grand by the league for some really vile, uncalled for comments to actor Michael Rapaport, a friend of our show. It's beyond that. Listen, I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't. And I think he's a remarkable player. But for years and years, I have been told that, and I was told it Friday by another source close to the Warriors. They were walking on eggshells with KD for 3 years. Easily offended, can be incredibly sensitive, hard to manage. And when he left Golden State, their feeling was, okay, we're not going to be as good, but this is just exhausting. This had a lifespan. And he got burned again. I've always thought, I think emotionally and physically, he's a little erratic when you compare him to like a LeBron or Chris Paul.
Where Colin was wrong.
Mac Jones, according to a former NFL GM, Mike Tannenbaum, is a lock to go number three to San Francisco. Jim Mora Jr. said he's hearing comparisons to Joe Montana. I don't get it. I don't get it. Never trailed at Alabama in the fourth or third quarters. Always had great protection. Throws a beautiful football. I'm not denying that. Yeah, when you got 9 seconds to throw and you're throwing to wide open guys, a lot of guys can throw a beautiful football. I don't get it.
Where Colin was right.
But former NFL scout Bucky Brooks said this weekend he is not a first-round player. Thank you. Listen, doesn't have a huge arm, not athletic, not real quick, no second reaction athleticism if the pocket breaks down. Again, I think if he went to San Francisco, I think he would have some success because I think they're so darn well coached and it's a run-centric offense. But I don't see first-round stuff here.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've always had four or five players I believe that can transform any team, Steph Curry being one of them, but not even he can transform the Warriors this year. Under 500, they've got talent, a 10th seed, but Chris Paul transformed a terrible Phoenix team into a number two seed, and Steph Curry is not doing it with Golden State. And they got some talent. I don't know what they're doing, that coaching staff is doing with James Wiseman, but it's just Kelly Oubre can play. They got some talent, it's just not working. If he's not amazing, they don't win. So it's not that his numbers are bad, but Chris Paul to this point is far more impressive. He transforms average rosters.
Where Colin was right.
Anthony Davis still out. Lakers reported yesterday he's a ways away from playing. So this morning it is April 5th. He has not played since February 14th. And this is what I've said about AD. He's not a number one. He's the world's best two. He is not physically dependable, and he's just an incredibly brittle commodity. It's not really some of this stuff is just, you know, it's DNA, it's genetics, whatever. It's just like I think it's hard to be 6'11 as a human being and run up and down the court and bang into people, but I've been on this for years. He doesn't have sort of the alpha leader thing, and he's not dependable physically. That is the definition of a really talented two.
Where Colin was wrong.
I love me some Zion, but he's hurt. And it's a story, and it's a narrative, and I can't deny it. And as much as I like him, I love watching Zion play. Despite that, Brandon Ingram's never played better. Lonzo Ball has been really shockingly good shooting the ball, and right now they're like the 11th seed. Zion, to be great, you got to be able to carry a team more. Right now he's not.
Where Colin was right.
Finally, Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner, acknowledged this weekend, there's a reason I had to spend money in free agency. We haven't drafted very well the last couple of years. Putting the onus on Bill Belichick. Finally, Belichick's got a very Greg Popovich system. Systems are completely limited without the stars. How's Steve Kerr's system? How's Greg Popovich's system? How's Bill Belichick's system? I'm not saying their system's not good. Brad Stevens has a system. Brad Stevens doesn't have a star. Jason Tatum's good. Not good enough to get you through KD and Kyrie and James Harden. In the end, I love that Robert Kraft is saying, Bill, you're on notice too. We shouldn't be this bad. we shouldn't have to spend this money in free agency.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's go to him now, his beautiful home. I'm not going to tell you where it is. It's by one of my favorite restaurants in Los Angeles, but I'm not going to tell you where it's at. So as you watch that UCLA loss, just take me to emotionally where you were watching that game.
Well, I was at the house. One of my really good friends and business partners also went to UCLA. She played on a basketball team as well and then played about 4 or 5 years in Germany pro. So, you know, we were over here kind of just breaking the game down as it was going along. From a cerebral standpoint, I felt like, you know, the Bruins went out there and played a pretty perfect game. Yeah. Obviously, there's some easy buckets that we would have wanted back. But, you know, they went out there and played how you're supposed to play. And for them to lose in that way, I'm still heartbroken for them.
I was going to say, as I was talking to you before we went on the air, you were still down. Have you ever had a football game like that? Well, you're down a week later?
Yeah. I mean, I think my junior year when we played against USC at home, you know, when they had Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, that game was a back-and-forth game, yep. Probably the closest game that I had against SC when I was there. And, you know, it was a couple of bad calls. Ball didn't bounce our way a couple of times. Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, I'm watching this. This Johnny Juzang got himself into the NBA. I feel like that will get him into the NBA, even though I know there's more to it. You know, it's funny. I was saying this, Mercedes. Everybody, the NBA sometimes dismisses college basketball. Like, G League's better in the International League. And my takeaway is I wouldn't know who Zion is without college basketball. I wouldn't know who Jalen Suggs is. There's a kid named Jalen Green who may get drafted third or fourth. I have no emotional connection. Jalen Suggs, I thought, made multiple million dollars in a Nike shoe deal or a Reebok shoe deal or whoever because he's got a story. If you came out today, and I got nothing against the G League, but I think we dismiss the platform of college basketball and college football. Baker Mayfield's got 10 commercials. He's not a top 10 quarterback, but he's got more commercials because of Oklahoma, because I watched him. So your takeaway, if you had a son that was a great basketball player or you were coming out of high school and were close to the NBA, would you go college for the March Madness, the platform, the facility, or would you go G League? What would you do? Or international?
I guess that would depend on, you know, what type of player I am. Obviously, you have your, you know, LeBron James, your Kobe Bryants that can just do it straight out of high school. And then you have, you know, the guys that are in high school that could potentially make some noise, but, you know, want to go make some money. So the G League would be their option. But, you know, if you are a highly talented, great high school basketball player and you understand that, like, yo, a year in college wouldn't do you bad, but only, you know, only thing you can do is, you know, raise your stock, I would go to college just because of the platform, for sure.
Did you like your college experience even though you knew you got hit for years, didn't get paid? Did you enjoy the college experience as an athlete?
I did. I mean, you know, I wanted to go to UCLA since I was 8 years old. And, you know, once it started to get closer, as far as me signing and getting ready for college, you know, I was just blessed to be in that position. Obviously, you know what Westwood is like. You know, if I could do it all over again, I probably wouldn't. But I really enjoyed my experience at UCLA.
Yeah. So you chose to stay with the Packers and you chose to stay and play in the NFL. For you now, the money's not the driving force. What is keeping you in the NFL?
I think, you know, naturally, when I wake up in the morning, you know, I like to reflect and think back on the things that, you know, has always, you know, helped me be able to sustain this long career. And I think just knowing that, you know, what I do is not for everybody. And, you know, for 12 years, I was in Jacksonville, playing my butt off, not necessarily competing for anything big until the last couple years. And, you know, I finally get on a squad where they understand my skill set. Obviously, I got a goated quarterback, you know, and definitely have some unfinished business. So, you know, at this point in my career, to be able to compete, people to see me, more and more, you know, on television, dominating my position. You can't ask for more. So I'm going to roll until the engine don't work no more.
By the way, Kyle Pitts is about as good a prospect I've seen at tight end, the kid from Florida. If you sat him down and said, okay, here's two things I'm going to tell you about the NFL that's different from college, what would they be?
I just think the level of competition and how cerebral you have to be in the film room and film study. I think, you know, as a young guy coming in, everybody's fast, big, strong. But how well you can break down film, how well you can, you know, find tendencies and make sure that you always have an edge going into the week. I mean, obviously, look at me. I'll be 37 in May. You know, you don't make it 16 years in the league just walking on the field. Like, it just doesn't happen that way. So being able to have a routine, understanding, you know, your strengths and also your weaknesses, and being able to, you know, get the most out of yourself every Sunday is the most important thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Aaron Jones took a little less money to stay in Green Bay, which for a running back is rare. Did he confide in you? I mean, because I think Green Bay is a good place to play. I mean, they treat you well. They treat you great. You win a bunch of games. I got Aaron Rodgers. We're not going to be out of games. The division's winnable. And when he took less money, what was your initial reaction?
Well, you know, I had talked to Aaron maybe three or four times before he had signed his contract, and he just leaned on me a little bit just for advice. Obviously, I've seen it all. And what I told him is that, look, you know, there's no question about what type of player you are. Depending on, you know, where you want to go or who's looking at you, it's going to be around the same money, right? So understand that, like, you know, you can sign and go somewhere else, but the grass may not be greener. You could get there and the quarterback not really be what you're used to, or the scheme and how we're able to get, you know, how A-Rod is able to get you to rock may not be the same. And so, you know, take some time to understand, you know, what you're going to be doing and where you want to end and see yourself at the end of the road. And I think he made a great decision. I think they do a really good job of getting Aaron Jones involved. And I told him, I said, hey, man, you're not going to have a tight end like me on the edge blocking for you. So you might want to take that into account, too.
That's right. Kyle Pitts doesn't want to block. I've watched him. He got no interest blocking, that's for sure. You're about 2 years from retiring and just going to UCLA games all the time, aren't you? Just hanging out at Pauley and doing your thing.
100%. I mean, I'm not one of those guys that don't look forward to being able to work out when I want to work out, not be told what to do, being able to go to UCLA, watch games, and just reflect on the really good times that I've had, not just as a player, but the man I've become. So, you know, when that time comes, I'll be ready for it and excited about it.
Well, you signed a 2-year, $8 million deal. I know that restaurant around the corner from your house. Why don't you go buy some chicken parm tonight and live big, fella? Just go.
Chicken parm on me whenever you're ready, bro.
You can get me some free Bruin tickets, too. They think I'm a Trojan homer, but I go to UCLA games. Mercedes, I love you. Love you, man. Great seeing you again.
Love you, too, man. Appreciate it.